Hello and welcome to my podcast on photography. My name is Ewan Bell. This series started life as a YouTube vlog, but you can now listen to each episode here as a podcast as well. If you would like to watch the YouTube version, just head to my website or search for me on YouTube. I love getting comments from listeners and especially love getting inspiration from your questions. Thanks for joining me today. Today's topic is, what was photography like before TikTok? What was the experience of learning photography, especially? How did we learn stuff? How did we advance our knowledge in the craft before the internet? I've been thinking a lot lately about how YouTube has changed how we learn stuff, how we learn anything, but especially the art of photography. How we can go onto YouTube, we can watch people explain stuff and show us stuff and demonstrate stuff in really well-crafted ways. We can learn really quickly in ways that were very difficult before the internet. If you're a good student, if you're good at just being able to research things and to listen to advice, you can go online and you can find so much really good information today. Information that used to be very difficult to access. Access to information was one of the ways that universities and colleges gate the entrance to a career. So to become a photographer, you had to study and you had to learn a whole bunch of things, and it just took a lot of time. I did not go to photography school. I did not study photography as a subject. I never learned anything about photography in school whatsoever. Most of what I've learned about photography, I've learned myself through digital photography. I did shoot in film a little bit before the whole digital stuff happened. I used to own a Minolta X300. It was the first camera I bought. I shot a lot of slide film with that, because slide film you could take to a lab and you could get them to process and you can see exactly what you've got. When you take negatives to be processed, A, you're looking at the negative, so you're seeing the reverse of what you shot. But also when you're looking at prints from a negative, there's interpretation of the negative in terms of the print. The cheapest way to do it was to just get auto prints, and so it would auto balance the exposures. So what you're seeing on a print didn't necessarily reflect exactly what was on the film. So my learning curve with film was very slow. It would take maybe weeks to get back the roll of film and look at what I shot. And then you've got to remember why you shot it and how you shot it. There was no metadata to refer to. So you had to be very organized if you were going to be self-taught and find your own path in the world of photography back then. You needed people who could mentor you. You needed to have either a friend who knew a little bit more about this stuff than you do, who maybe had their own darkroom. You needed to be part of camera clubs, because that's where the expertise was really clustered. That's where you could access some of that expertise. And camera clubs were essentially using slide carousels. You'd pop a slide in and the slides would go up on the wall. Nothing was digital. So your learning is just a very different experience. And I was one of the lucky ones. The job I had in medical research, I actually had a darkroom and I was shooting with an electron microscope. So I was doing my own film. This was electron sensitive film, not light film. But the rules are the same when you're developing film. So I had some expertise in how to develop, and I had a darkroom to actually do my own prints. So I was very, very lucky in that regard. I still don't think I learned as much on film, even though I had my own darkroom, as when I moved into digital. The instant feedback you get from being able to look at what you shot and work out what went wrong is just a different way to learn. You just have a different learning curve. Today, you can find a mentor online. You can find someone's YouTube channel who's just got a load of stuff that you're interested in, and you can pick the eye teeth out of everything that they have to offer. You can download to your brain a lot of information. Maybe that way of learning just doesn't work for everyone. Maybe some people much prefer or just do better when they're dealing one-on-one and they've got hands-on and they can rephrase the discussion in terms that make sense to them. Having someone in the real world that you can mentor from, I think that's really valuable still. But for some people, just not actually having to deal with someone else, being able to sit in the quiet of their own space and do it at their own time and just watch YouTube videos. Maybe that's a better way for some people to learn. Because that's pretty much how I did my kitchen. When we redid our kitchen during COVID, we learned everything we needed to do off the internet. We looked at YouTube videos on how to put together cabinets and how to get things on the wall and how to work with the IKEA system and whether this system would work better than that system. And we just learned a lot of stuff off YouTube. I didn't have a mentor for how to redo my kitchen. So YouTube is great. You can go online and you can get obsessed with just a handful of people and you can learn so much from them and you can decide which bits are really relevant to you and which aren't. There's going to be a danger that there's too much information out there. There is so much out there online and having to filter out can be a real issue. And to an extent, that's what the algorithms are doing, right? The algorithms are saying lots of people found this interesting. They watched through to the end. So it's going to promote the video that gets watched through to the end before one where most people didn't actually stay through. So there's some filtering going on just with the algorithms alone. Which in theory means if you produce a video that's really good, lots of people will see it and it will get a lot of airplay. TikTok to me represents a very different stage of the internet. YouTube is one stage, TikTok is just a whole other thing. You're not watching 20 minutes of someone explaining how to use a particular camera. You're watching 20 seconds of someone being pithy and entertaining, and the actual quotient of information is less important than the entertainment. And there's so much rubbish out there. There's so much information that's not information. It's either AI generated or it's just lies or it doesn't make any sense and why would anyone believe it? But that's the stuff that gets a run. It's controversial. It's going to get a run. It's going to get clicks. The TikTok aspect of it, I think, is making it much harder for people to actually find what they're looking for. It's putting up an obstacle between you and learning, because the internet is full of good information, but it's also full of rubbish. And if we're constantly wading our way through the rubbish, we give up. We stop looking for the good information because all we see is rubbish. And then there's something that I call the image gap. I actually put this in a chapter of my book, this gap between where we want to be and where we are. And we know we want to get over there somehow. We know we want to reach the other side. So we go online and we see all this stuff out there that looks amazing. And there's a fine line between that weight and scale of photography that's out there being inspiring versus being depressing. Seeing a whole bunch of stuff that you think you can't do, is that actually helping you to feel better about your photography? Notwithstanding that so much of it is not actually real photography anyway. It might look like a real photograph, but in fact, it could be AI generated, or worse, it's like a composite. So people are passing it off as though it is actual photography, but it didn't happen. But you don't know that. You don't know, looking at that photo, that it's not real. Like the pictures of a deer on the top of a mountain with a big full moon behind it to create a silhouette, and it's not real. And in your brain, you're thinking, oh man, why can't I take that photo? Why is it that all these other people can do this photo and I can't? Maybe I shouldn't be a photographer. And you're looking at something that's not real, and it's not telling you it's not real. It's pretending to be real. So there's a gap there. None of this was a problem in 1988. None of this was a problem when I was a student. Back then, a photo is just a photo. And I think this programs your brain differently. It programs your brain to think of photography as a respectful art, as a genuine art, as somehow noble. And today, photographers are just like, well, I just want to make up something. I just want to create something that's convincing and fool people. I mean, that's a very influencer perspective. That's not necessarily a photographer perspective, but that's what we're doing to our brains. This is how a generation of people are seeing photography now. They're seeing it as, how can I make an image to manipulate someone, as opposed to, how can I take a picture that genuinely and accurately represents the world I live in? So many people are learning about photography and advancing their skills much faster than I was when I was their age. I think there's a downside to learning things really quickly. I think you don't value it as much when it becomes too easy. If it's not difficult to get there, do you value what you're learning? if you simply turn on the camera and point the lens and it gets the exact shot you want? Have you learned anything? Have you challenged yourself? We're losing the value of the process. We're losing the value of what a photograph is because it's so easy. If it's not a difficult thing, if there's no challenge in it, we don't value it ourselves. I've always found that when I'm practicing my photography, go slow is the most important ingredient. Taking your time, slowing down the process, not rushing, not feeling rushed, not trying to rush, giving yourself opportunity to immerse in the moment and immerse in the experience. This might seem counterintuitive, I know, this idea of learning slow and travel slow and just going slow. You don't want to rush to success. We think we have to move as fast as we can. We think we have to outcompete someone or get ahead of the other guy or be at a certain stage in our career or our lives or our skill levels. And is any of that making us happier? Does any of that make us a better photographer to jam-pack our brains with information instead of giving ourselves time to really assimilate that information and experience it and find what's important to us, what actually matters to you? When I look back at all of the things I've done with my career, the things that went the best are the ones that took time, the ones that developed slowly, the ones that had a bit of opportunity to mature, that took a few wrong turns and then got it back on track. You got to make a few mistakes to get to the right place. All of the best things happen from slowly building a path forward. So I find this world of instant learning and instant gratification and instant everything is just not really the best place for me. So maybe if you're feeling that you're not quite on the leading edge of things and you're a little bit off Broadway, maybe that's a good place to be. Maybe that's just the right place for you to learn at your speed. I want to finish off this episode with a question because I want to know from people, is there something you know now about your photography that you really wish you had known when you first started? Is there something that really would have made a difference? I would love to hear from as many people as possible. Thank you for joining me for one more episode, and I hope you have a great day.